Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, y'all. Howdy, y'all. Glenn DeGee from Lexington, Kentucky. I'll start.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 31st, 2011, episode 109, sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Oh my gosh. I just had one of those moments where you totally panic, and I was trying to play it off like I didn't just totally panic. But did you hear me, Glenn, when I said March 31st, 2011? And I kind of was like, March 31st, 2011?
Yeah.
Okay, so I just totally had one of those moments where, like, oh, my God, it's my dad's birthday, and I didn't do anything.
Uh-oh. Is his birthday today?
No, it's May 31st, but oh. I just had, like, reading it, I was like, oh, my God, like, I just, like, heart dropped into my stomach, like, oh, my God, I forgot my dad's birthday. I didn't send him anything. Okay, so I don't have to panic. It is not my dad's birthday. I have two whole shopping months left. Sorry about that. I just had to explain why I thought I sounded a little scared. That was horrible.
And I also determined something else this morning. That was a new Thursday opener I put together, and I absolutely hate it. It's the last time you'll hear that one.
Yeah, that was bad. Thank you, though,
yeah, it was
for
pretty,
working on
pretty
it.
Pretty bad. Yeah, I tried. You know, Thursday's the only day we don't have an opener for anymore. And I worked on it this morning, but it was a poor effort at best, I would say.
I think you could have spent your time a little bit better. Maybe, you know, getting some news together, finding some Craigslist ads, because I am super excited about our show tomorrow, simply because I have been saving up these ridiculously bad horse ads. I go on Craigslist now, and again, as I mentioned yesterday, Glenn, I cannot go on Craigslist in my own area anymore to read horse ads, because twice now I have actually almost, like, I twice actually wanted to go buy this particular horse I was looking at, and not because they're phenomenal deals, not because they're just so cute. No, it's because I feel sorry for them. And that is the best way to sell a horse, I'm telling you, is just tell them that you're abusing the horse, and then they will buy the horse, no matter what, because that is the best way to get a horse. So, yes. I cannot search on Craigslist anymore in my own area, so I've been looking at, like I said, Albuquerque, Salt Lake City, just random cities around this area, and finding some really bad ads. So what we want is for everybody out there listening to do the same thing. Find us, I mean, there's plenty of examples that I could use of really bad ads. I mean, like I said, I'm just giving one away, but they said yes. And Glenn loves this one. I'm sure you'd be perfect. It said, Percheron mare, trained to drive, kind of, will trade for guns. How is that relative at all? Oh, I've got some extra guns, and gosh darn
you
it.
You sure that wasn't in, that sounds like it should be more in deep redneck country where we live.
It doesn't matter. There's rednecks all over the world, Glenn. You know, it's not. It's I've learned in my travels of life that rednecks are not stuck in the South. There's the one that lives on my street, and I'm in Phoenix, so they're everywhere. And excuse me, hold on.
And Jamie is now falling off her ball. There she is.
I was choking on my coffee. Anyway, so you know, like Jennifer said, she's typed this to me. It's bad ads happen to good horses. So it can be anywhere. It can have anything to do with anything. But just send those to us, Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, or post them on our Facebook page. We'll check them out. The winner of the best ad, or the worst ad, the best of the worst, will win a prize. And actually, there's a really awesome prize. Glenn, tell us about it.
Well, this week it's the Spur Suader, which is the spurs that Jennifer uses. It's about a $50 value, and fortunately, Linda, who invented the Spur Suader, is donating some for us to use in our drawings. But every week we'll have something a little bit different for you. But and Jennifer did get some ads this week. Didn't you get some in yesterday? So we got a head start anyway.
Yes, I received several yesterday, and this is incredibly coincidental because most of the time – I don't know where the ad comes from. So, folks, when you send them in, if you can put a link to the actual ad, that's really useful for us because then we can kind of have fun with which part of the country has the best, worst ads. Two completely different people, which I'm assuming are unrelated, sent me the same ad.
Oh,
it was hilarious.
No way.
So it must be way at the top
great.
Of the list.
That is really cool. And are these people from the same area of the world?
See, I don't know because there's no link to the ad. Both people just copied and pasted the text. So I don't know.
Well, here's just a little special something that I'm adding is when you do see those ads and the picture is embarrassingly bad, I also have been copying those pictures, and I'll have to be posting those on Facebook as well. I mean,
yeah.
Really – there's two kids riding double on a horse, and they're like, Western horse, but look, it goes English. There's no saddle pad underneath the two children in the English saddle.
Well,
like,
they're
really?
Going with the European look.
The Europeans
there's
do
no...
that.
That's...
Yeah. They do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably
they
have
actually,
better fit saddle.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's true, and true saddle makers will tell you that it's actually better not to have a saddle pad. If your saddle fits appropriately, you should not have a saddle pad.
I'm going to make a wager that these people are definitely not European and are definitely not wearing a properly fitted saddle. And I mean, wait till you see the picture.
Well, at least
should
there's
I just
a
post
saddle.
Now?
There's a saddle.
There was a saddle, so that's something.
Anyway, I'll get on with the business. On today's show, we are starting out with Cowboy Chris and his fascinating and philanthropic ride across America. And then to keep things balanced, Glenn and Jamie will participate in some totally frivolous conversation. And then moving back across the scale of valid human debate, we will check in with Lisa of the Chronicle Report a day early just to keep everybody off balance. So sit back and enjoy.
Yeah, and our first guest today is going to be coming up here shortly. Hope Hand will be on with us. She was on with us early, very early, when we started Horses in the Morning back in November. She is the president of the United States Para Equestrian Association. She's going to update us on what's going on with the paras this year. So we'll be doing that in a moment as well. What else is up, Jamie?
Well,
how's
I've
your
got
visit
a day go, winning.
By the way, with you? Oh, you do? Oh, we forgot today. I forgot the Daily Winnies. I'm sorry.
You want to
do yours first?
Do yours
first or mine? I'll do
you
mine.
Go.
Dawn Jackson Filer posted yesterday. It's the first time I've seen her post on our page. And she listened to the show where we had the Jump for Joy Equestrian Camp, and apparently her kids went there, and she's a big fan. So thank you, Dawn. We hope you keep listening and enjoy every day of the Horses in the Morning show.
Okay, my Daily Winnie goes out to all of our Facebook friends and fans and friends of the horse.com. for posting ways to gross Glenn out. It was an impressive amount of comments left on the horse.com's page and on our page, because the horse.com comes on every Wednesday and does a segment, a horse health segment that, you know, if you don't ever listen on Wednesdays, it's really informative. I always learn something. It's really good. They got Bets on, and then Christy works for the horse.com, and she comes on and tells us about everything. Well, recently it's been like good stuff, like nice stuff. There's no grossing Glenn out like happened a while ago. So we've decided that we need to gross him out a little bit more. And so she posted and we posted on our pages, how can we gross him out? I would like to give a special mention to Bree Lake, who talked about, and if you're having breakfast right now, just turn this down. Glenn, focus. Bree Lake, who had to rupture an abscess on her horse, and it when she squeezed it, it actually squirted across the stall onto her trainer, which I thought was phenomenal. And then the comments went on and on and on after that about how it's just in our nature as horse people to try to gross each other out with things that happen on our horses. But the amount of mentions with, like, sheath cleaning and strangles and abscesses, it was just phenomenal. Of course, I then posted eyeballs. We're going to have to get my friend Dr. Norman on to talk about eyeballs. Just that
sick,
would just be
sick,
awesome.
Sick. All you horse women are sick.
It's so great. I love it. I love it. I love it. So I do like Katie Watson, too. She told a story about when she was dissecting, because after I mentioned the eyeballs and all the eyeball stories came out, Katie and Lisa got in this conversation about when they were dissecting sheep eyeballs and it flew off the table, bounced like a rubber ball. Gross. Gross.
Did you have to do sheep eyeballs? We did frogs. That's the only thing we did was little frogs.
Do you know what I did
for
dissecting? I actually petitioned the school board because I think dissecting is terrible, and it's a waste of time and a waste of fetal pigs and a waste of dead animals. So I actually petitioned the school, and I'm the first ever person in my high school to get out of doing a dissection. And I did one, and this is a long time ago. I did one online. It was like a floppy disk program. computer, and you had to do like Alt+4+2 thing to get the actual thing to work. But I actually did a fetal pig dissection online, so I didn't. I'm a vegetarian. I don't believe in that kind of junk. So I thought it was funny that they were all talking about the eyeballs. It's a different story. Ask my dad about that. I mean, I got called in the principal's office. It was horrible, but I had a whole presentation.
Well, I got to tell you that I don't know what to think, Christy. I'm feeling illness coming on. I don't think I'll be around next Wednesday. You're going to need to cover for me because judging by the gross stuff that everybody posted there, I'm telling you, horse women are just sick. You're a sick group.
Glenn,
you enjoy
you
this
are
stuff.
Not going. You're not going to be sick. It will not happen. I will not allow it. You will be there, and you will sit, and you will take it. As much as you pick on me
la,
and make
la,
fun
la,
of
la,
me
la, la, la.
On this show, tell us about
la,
our
la,
first
la,
guest.
La, la, la.
Big meanie.
Yes, let's do that. Save me here, Hope. Save me. We have the president of the United States Para-Equestrian Association who is here to save me this morning. Her name is Hope Hand. Hi, Hope.
Hi, Glenn. How's my favorite horse person?
I'll tell you what. Look,
I'm good. I'm good.
Just
saying
that.
How are you?
Shut up,
good,
baby.
Good.
He's just saying that to make me feel better after you're trying to gross me out. Every Wednesday, Hope, we do that segment with thehorse.com, and they do things just to gross me out and make me lose my lunch.
Yeah, and it's
every...
about the bad eyeballs.
I know. They say sheath cleaning, and I'm telling you, you horse women are just gross.
Oh,
just
God.
Gross.
It's part of your weight loss program.
Well, I need that. I do need that. That's for sure. Well, Hope, I know you didn't call in to talk about gooey abscesses. So
nope.
What's going on with the para team?
Oh, man, we're all over the globe. we just came down from a 3-star qualifier from at Del Mar. California. It was very successful and ended the week with a Debbie McDonald clinic. So
well, that's not too shabby.
No, we're on a roll. Then some of my riders did the Christoph Hess clinic this past week and just were thrilled and just had a great experience, and that was in Maine. And we're gearing up. We have a clinic series running in Maine for the next couple months, one a month. So we're pretty excited.
And where will your next big, like, big international competition be?
Our next big international be the Fall NIDA show at Socrates, New York. And
okay.
That'll be a 3-star qualifier. And we expect a big showing there with the Canadians and Mexico and the U.S., of course. And maybe some of the other European countries that will, you know, be looking for scores. We have qualifying shows, and it's three and four-star CDI PE competitions throughout the world. And this year we had two. We try to do one in the West Coast and one in the East Coast. So the horses don't have to travel to Europe.
Now, next year, of course, is a big year for the Olympics.
Yep.
Does each country have to qualify, and have you qualified?
Yes. Right now, we have 13 riders that have qualifying scores, and that would be at least 60% or higher in one of the championship tests or team tests to be invited to the selection trial. So that's just the first cut. So right now we have 13 that have qualifying eligibility scores to be invited to selection trials. So we certainly will pick up a few more riders in September, or if some of our riders choose to go over to Europe and compete.
Now, with that, now, that's the Olympics in London. Is the Paris portion immediately after the Olympics, or is it at the same time? How does that work?
It's immediately after the Olympics. There's just too many riders to hold it at the same time. But it'll be at the same venue, same horse park, approximately 10 to 13 days following the Able Body Olympics.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I imagine they're all getting very excited for that. I know they
were
all excited.
We're real excited. I mean, coming down from WEG, now that we are together at the World Equestrian Games, which
right.
was just a fantastic experience. And I know you were there, you know, got a couple glimpses of you. We crossed paths. It was such a busy 3 weeks, but that worked out very well, and we're looking forward to our next world champion competition. And it was really exciting to be there.
Now, is our friend Missy Ranshausen still coaching?
Yes, she is. She is. I don't know if you caught the show, but we did a short piece with Robert Dover and
okay.
Missy and I and Becca. So that was a fun time, and he's promoting Para and telling us about all the new changes down in Wellington and what's going to take place next year with the new venue update. That's going to be fantastic, Glenn. We're so excited because they're going to include a Para dressage series, and we can't wait to get our riders down there and competing and with the Canadian Para team. So we'll have some nice competition.
Cool.
Yeah.
I noticed that. And I see that I was looking over some results from the weekend, the events around, and I see Missy had a couple of horses out last weekend. I believe she was riding some horses in the event world again.
Yes, she is. I think she's riding for a couple of riders right now. I don't want to say the names just in case, you know, I'm not supposed to, you know, divulge a secret, but yeah, she's doing well.
All right, good. Well, you know, and there's another thing going on right now, and I know it ends today, doesn't it, voting?
Well, the first draft ends today. Voting ends March 31st,
yeah,
which is the day that features
can you tell
us,
everybody, what it is? We haven't talked about it here much, Hope, so go ahead and tell everybody what it is.
What it is, each discipline gets to vote their favorite equestrian. So we have eight disciplines in equestrian. So the first round ends today, so we have to get our riders to go on the equusfoundation.org site to vote for their favorite para equestrian. And what will happen, the riders that get the most votes by the time November rolls around, there's I think, five rounds of voting where it's kind of like Idol, where each round two riders get voted off based on the number of votes that they bring in. It's $5 to vote. It's very easy. You go right online. It's www.equusfoundation.org/vote. So please do that. Show your support. And the other bonus, what happens is if your discipline happens to win, they get an extra $5,000. So donations, donations raised over $15,000 will be used to support horse-related charitable causes. So it's a really neat thing that they came up with, and it's really a win-win situation for everyone. So every discipline benefits.
And that's at the Equus Foundation website, correct?
Right.
Okay, good. Well, that's great. And, of course, you know, we had a spotlight rider for the 2010 radio show that Samantha and I did, and that was Susan Treves. And she had said that she was going to be – she had worked for the government of California. Matter of fact, her window overlooked the Capitol, Arnold Schwarzenegger's office. And she had said she was going to be quitting her job to go full-time riding. And as an athlete, did she do that?
Yes, she did. She is doing that. So she's riding about six horses a day and training, other riders and assisting other riders to meet their goals. So she's working hard at the barn. I do know that, I think she has some surprises for us to bring in some new horses at the fall qualifier, so I'm excited for her, and I can't wait to see how she's making out with the new horses that she'll be showing.
Well, I'll tell you, Jamie, I got to tell you something. Hope, we worked together for about 2 years leading up to the World Equestrian Games. We did some fundraisers together and things like that, and I got to tell you, there is nobody more dedicated to her group than Hope is. And Hope, we have to thank you for doing what you do for the para athletes, because, you know, the United States team wouldn't be where it is now without you. You're an inspiration.
Thank you, Glenn. We want to thank you, because you really gave us a jump start. That para webathon really put us on the map, Glenn. That was so much fun. And that was a first ever, and we thank you. And that was such a success. That really.
Well, it was a lot of. We need to do it again. Heck with World Equestrian Games. We just need to do another one.
We do. We have to plan it. We have to, you know, think about for 2012.
That's right.
Really,
well, we'll definitely do it for 2012. Mm-hmm. No question about that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Hope.
Okay,
we appreciate
Glenn,
you calling and checking in.
You have a good day. Bye now.
Right, bye-bye. And if anybody wants
to
check out Go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say, if anybody wants to check out her organization, you can do it at USPEA, United States Para Equestrian Association.org.
I mean, just the dedication in her voice. I mean, just the passion that she has, even just talking about it and delivering a news update about how the team's doing and what they're doing. It's inspirational, because that is a tough, that's got to be tough, I would think, to do that. I mean, coaching is hard enough, but then to add, you know, a disability to it, that's why there's people like her out there. She's amazing.
And I wanted to, Hope is awesome, and we got to know a little bit of the some of the riders on the team during the webathon. During WEG, I actually had an opportunity to hang out and watch some of the warm-up rings one day, and I ended up sitting down watching some dressage riders do warm-ups. And I was sitting there for about 20 minutes watching a lovely rider, which I think might have been German. And there were, I think, four or five riders in the arena, and this young lady had a very difficult horse. The horse was obviously very high, just full of himself. And I was just amazed at her poise and how tactful she was, because it was one of those rides where the horse was just egging the rider on to pick a fight so he could win. And that rider just sat through it. The horse was crow hopping, bucking, sticking his head up and scooting and trying to get out from under her. And after about 20 minutes, she took a little break and let the reins out a little bit to try to let the horse breathe a little more. And I went, wait a minute, that's one of the para riders. Because she had kind of a unique setup for her stirrups. I don't think she had her ankles and lower legs were not typical there. And I was amazed, because their standard that they set for themselves is the same as all the other riders. It's not a case of, I'm going to just get on here and get by. These guys have an amazing work ethic and standard that they set. It's just beautiful to watch.
Well, most of them do ride in dressage shows. I mean, they'll ride in dressage shows and they'll compete against able-bodied as well. So, you know, they do both.
And just let it be a lesson to all of us when we go out to the barn, we're like, ugh, I don't feel like riding today. I don't. These people are working 10 times as hard as you, and they have a disability. So get your butt on your horse and ride around and enjoy it and find peace and happiness and excitement in it. If that woman can deal with a naughty horse, you can deal with your horse when there's a little wind or it's a little cold. You know, it's inspirational completely. So good luck to them. I think another fundraiser is definitely due.
Oh, that was fun. We had a great time doing that. Thanks to the help of Alltech for that, because we used their studios and they produced it. And we raised almost $12,000 that night, all online, all on sites around the world. And it was well produced. It was well done. Samantha hosted it. I was just a goofy guy in the back in the call center. And Samantha and Susan did a great job hosting it. We had Missy was there and a bunch of the riders were there. It was just a fabulous time, and it was, you know, for a good cause. And people, we had four phone lines set up. First of all, we didn't know that anybody would call. We weren't sure that this would work at all. It had never been done like this before, online, a total fundraiser like this, video. And, you know, we just didn't know what was going to happen. Well, there were four phone lines, and for about an hour of the 2 hours, all four phone lines were full. People kept getting busy signals. So we were thrilled. I mean, it was just a thrilling time. And I'm going to do another Daily Winnie for somebody. And that is to Missy Ranshausen. She is a tremendous coach for that team. She donates her time. She puts endless hours in helping the team out. And she has a full-time career teaching and riding herself. She's a full-time eventer out of Pennsylvania. And her mom was a big-time dressage rider, Jessica. And she puts in endless hours, and she has the personality. She's so much fun that she does so great with these riders, especially the younger ones. She just does a great job. So, you know, hats off to Missy for what she does for the team, too.
I like Missy. I think it's awesome that Missy's mom is, you know, upper level elitist dressage trainer, and here's Missy like, nah, I'm gonna event. And, like, totally does it. And it's just awesome. You think, I mean, she's got dressage breeding, you know, from birth. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to event. I'm going to do that.
Lissy,
so I think it's
Lissy
fantastic.
Likes to go fast and jump high.
Yeah.
She definitely likes that. Hey, we're going to change the schedule here a little bit, I think, Jamie. Let's do the commercial after we talk to Cowboy Chris, because I know he's on the road and doing his thing. So let's get to him next. Do you want to introduce him?
I would. Cowboy Chris is a man who is raising funds for Heroes for Children Foundation, but he's not doing it in, like, you know, the way that Glenn did his fundraiser. It's not online. It's not. He's not taking your calls. What Chris is doing is he is riding one horse and ponying. Now, I think I'm getting this correct because I am having a hard time imagining this, but Cowboy Chris is riding from Texas to New York City, with four horses, riding one and ponying three. Am I correct here, Chris?
Yes, ma'am.
What on earth are you doing? I was like, how do you do that?
It's pretty easy. I've done some training with them. And what I do is I switch off. That's why I have so many, is so I don't ride one the continuous way. And the others, I spread the feed and the tack and all that through them, so they're not carrying large amounts of weight at one time also. But, yeah, I just do it the old way where the one I'm on, I have the other one next to her tied to the saddle horn, and then each one next to that one, lead ropes tied to that horse.
Oh, so you four sets of reins in your hands. That's what I was picking. You actually have them poning each other.
Yes, sir. Because, I'm not strong enough to sit there and pull the other, so I make each one of them pull the next one.
That's what I was wondering. I'm
size-wise,
like, is this...
that way the bigger one's pulling the smaller all the way.
Oh, that's so smart. That is so smart, because what I was imagining is, like, you know, a train of elephants at the circus when there's, like, one on each tail, and they kind of go back, and then there's always a little baby at the end. That's exactly what I was envisioning for you, Chris. Now, tell us exactly
why. And actually, that's
why.
Exactly how it is, because my last one, he's actually in training. He's not old enough to ride. He's almost two, but not quite there, so all he gets on him is just a saddle.
Wow. Okay, this is going to be the most broke two-year-old ever when you get to New York. That's amazing. Okay,
I'll definitely be desensitized.
There's nothing that's going to scare him. That's amazing. I'd like to bid on him if you're going to sell him.
Well, that's just it. All of them, when he said desensitized, with the training, I've made it to where I can have semis, cars, trains just go right next to them, honking their horns, and it doesn't even faze them.
Well, that's probably a good thing because, you know, you are riding from Dallas to New York, but you're raising money for an organization called Heroes for Children, and you are also, which is for kids with cancer. And you are also a cancer survivor. So tell us a little bit of your story and why you decided to do this.
Well, 5 years ago this May, I went to New York to sit there and see about donating one of my kidneys to a friend of mine. And during the testing, that's when they found that my right kidney had cancer in it. So I was one of the lucky ones that I never got sick and did not have to go through the chemo, because mine was still in stage one. So they removed my kidney. And after that, I started helping out with relays and fundraisers, things like that. And during that process, that's when I started becoming more and more aware of how the children's cancer, not being neglected per se, but just kind of like being swept under a rug. People, I don't know if they're afraid to talk about it or what, but it just wasn't very well publicized. And I wanted to try to do something to help improve that, where people would actually recognize how serious children's cancer is. So I started going online looking for foundations that I thought were a good foundation, and that's when I found Heroes for Children.
And what do they do? What set them apart for you?
Well, a lot of organizations, only portion of the money, which I understand, I mean, they have expenses and stuff, only portions of the money goes towards the families themselves. And Heroes for Children, their money actually does go towards the families. Because their number one priority is to sit there and help the family be able to deal with the number one concern, which is the child. And a lot of families, well, not a lot, I mean all families that are dealing with children's cancer, they not only do they have to worry about their child, but they have to worry about, okay, I've got to be able to work enough to be able to pay the rent, the utilities, the mortgage, car payments, everything like that. And this foundation actually will pay that stuff for them. So the family does not have to worry about it. They can worry about the child. And they also have a program with them for children that are they're going through their chemo treatments to where they their immune system is so low that they're not allowed to be around people, can't go to school. And to make it where they're not, they don't feel so isolated, and they can keep up their schoolwork. They sit there and they'll buy the child a laptop, so the child can keep up their schoolwork and still stay in touch with their friends. And that's something that I really liked about that foundation, is their priority was the child.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're really not trying to, you know, overstate your goals as far as raising money. What you wanted to do is raise $1 for every mile of your round trip ride. So you're only looking for $3,000. I think you can do that. And I think that if the word gets out on what you're doing, then, you know, I think you'll get a lot of donations. Just because it's inspiring to me that you found the cancer because you were giving somebody a kidney. So you're already an incredibly selfless person, which I think is phenomenal. There's just not enough people like you out there. So I think that's awesome. And I, you know, for what you're going through right now, yeah, start with a day in the life and tell us what you're doing. Like, you wake up in the morning, where are you? You get the horses ready and you go.
Yes, ma'am. Well, what I do is when I get up in the morning, I'll give them each a few pounds to start with for the morning of their feed. And then while they're eating, then I'll sit there and I'll fold up the tent, get everything situated. And then as they finish eating, I'll saddle each of them up and put the equipment on them. And then we start riding. And the day's ride, we'll ride for a while. I'll stop for a little bit, let them graze, get them some water. Then we'll start in again, trying to get about between 20 and 30, but it's more close to 20 miles in a day. That way all we're doing the entire day is just a nice, slow, casual walk. That way they don't overexert themselves. And
Doesn't your butt hurt, though, after... I walked on my horse.
I could not even walk.
Minutes.
Yeah, the first week, I was like, oh my God, what did I get into? But after that, I don't know if it's a good thing, but the butt doesn't feel it anymore after the first week.
You're just numb. Hey, Chris, how long do you think it's going to take you to get to the New York City?
Well, I originally planned on about 2 to 2.5 months, but it's just like anything you do on a trip. You may plan on something, but once you actually get to doing it, that's when you realize how long it's actually going to take. And with me stopping to talk to people to let them know about children's cancer and stuff, it takes a little bit longer. So I'm guessing about 3 months to get there, to be on the safe side. Another 3 to get back.
And I know you're going to ride back too? See, I didn't know about that part.
Yes, sir. It's going to be a round trip.
Oh, wow. I hope you get back before winter's in the Northeast. That would put
you
back.
Oh, yeah. over where I'm from, it doesn't start getting cold until usually late December, early January. And I should be back around August.
Well, we are definitely rooting for you. And if you don't mind, we'll keep in touch with you. Are you going to be coming through Kentucky? What's your route up north?
I'm not sure what towns. I know I'm going to Memphis. And when I get to Memphis, I'm going to stop at St. Jude's and visit with them for the day. Then I also know I'm going to be going through Tennessee. After that, I don't know exactly what towns.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on you. And if you don't mind, if we check in with you here on the Horses in the Morning show occasionally to see how you're making out.
Oh, no, sir. I don't mind at all. And if a person wants to be able to keep up with us on the route, they can go on the Foundation's website, which is www.heroesforchildren.org. They have a spot for the ride, which they have. They can go on Facebook and then keep track of the ride. And they also have a section on that for donations.
Okay, cool. And that's on Facebook, it's Horse Ride for Heroes, and I posted that on our Facebook page, too. We'll try and get your fan count up here a little bit. And we'll keep checking in with you every week or two and see how you're making out. Good luck with the fundraising. It looks like that's going pretty well, too. And shout out to Hooters for helping you out and raising a good amount of money with you there on one of your stops.
Definitely. And they actually, so far, they set up where towns I go to that has the Hooters there. They've already have them planned out for a fundraiser. So they're still continuously helping.
I got to tell you here, Jamie, can you imagine? You've seen his picture. He's probably a big hit with the Hooters girls when he comes riding into town.
I was going to say, that's not a bad gig, man. You ride your horses up to a Hooters and you're doing it for childhood cancer. Those women are going to be all over you, Chris. Oh, my gosh.
Well, it'd be great, but so far they're all a little young for me.
Oh, yeah, not too many older Hooters waitresses, I would imagine. But, you know, maybe the manager.
No, because they're all pretty close to my oldest daughter's age.
Oh, God. Never mind. Sorry, that's just weird. I'll never say that again.
Chris, this has been fun. Good luck, and be safe, okay? And we'll check in with you next week.
Thank you. I appreciate everything.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. God, what a great guy. My gosh.
And does he sound like does he sound like a nice Texas cowboy or what? I mean, just... nice guy.
Oh, what a hero. I mean, just the fact that this whole thing started with him, he was going to give his kidney to somebody. So you guys go online right now, and it's facebook.com, and then just search Horse Ride for Heroes. I know we've got it posted on our page as well. So check that out. Follow him. He's got 422 followers right now, and one of those is now me. Now he's got 424. So let's get that up there. Let's follow him. Let's keep it going. And we definitely will find out where he's going to be and where he's going to go. I know Susan posted to ask him where in Tennessee he's riding. It doesn't sound like he's got much of a plan as far as where he's going.
Well, when we followed the lady that was riding across the country on the Stable Scoop show, we followed her for what was 8-9 months. If you make a plan, it gets changed anyway. I mean, you know, weather, conditions, roads that you were counting on riding on aren't available to you. So, you know, he probably has a idea, but that's about it. And Jennifer says I'm breaking up really bad, so I'm going to try calling back in. Jamie, why don't you take it to the commercial, and I'll be back.
Okay, sounded fine to me. Well, just to let you know, our sponsor for today is EZSignsOnline.com, and you can visit our friends at EZSignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options and see all the pricing up front, from vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, to farm entrance signs. They also have business, school, and church signs. Did you know you can get a custom economical outdoor sign starting at only $43. So you can choose from hundreds of different sizes and styles, and with four different signboard options, you are sure of getting the perfect sign for your needs. And best of all, they also have free shipping on many of their signs. Check out the website today for details. That is easysignsonline.com, 1-800-640-8180. And Glenn is calling back in. Apparently, I might be
hey, Glenn.
Backing up a little.
You back, Glenn?
I am here. I don't know. I think we're actually having some issues with our system because Jamie seems to think I sound okay now. So we'll see how it goes here. And I've lost my switchboard. So
I can prop up your switchboard for you. No problem.
Okay, that sounds good. And actually, yeah, Jennifer, you were breaking up a little bit too, so I don't know if we're having technical difficulties or what. We'll just plow through this and keep going as best we can here. Let's go to a song. Let's do that. Today, I have a song that I really picked this one out for Jamie. And Jamie, I picked it out because your favorite horse is Zenyatta, and of course, Zenyatta just lost her baby. So we this song, I'm surprised I hadn't found it before. And Jennifer, I'm going to have you hit the play button on it when we're ready here. This song is called Mares. It's by Marianne Kennedy, and it is a sweet song, and it's all about being a mare and the troubles that come along with that. So, Jennifer, hit it.
Hit it.
That is Marianne Kennedy Mares, and Glenn dedicated that song to Zenyatta. And I have to say, she's not my favorite horse, Glenn, because my horse would be very offended if I said that Zenyatta was my
favorite
horse. So really, my horse, yeah, there you go. Favorite racehorse, Zenyatta, my horse. I swear he came up to the window when I said that and looked at me and gave me evil eye. So that is MarianneKennedy.com to hear all her music. Today's show brought to you by Easy Signs Online. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get to talk to Chris enough. I wanted to find out where he is right now, where his next stop is. I've got so many more questions, so I'm glad he's going to be joining us next week. But
I wanted to mention this. Right on his page, on his Facebook page, if you go to the information tab, there is a link to a Google Maps that you can actually follow his progress, and they pinpoint every place he is and has been on the Google Map. It's pretty cool. So you can follow that right off of his Facebook page.
Susan Nelson just posted on her Facebook page, I will track him down near Memphis. Age is no problem. Oh, my God, girl, you go.
That's very funny.
Susan, he's got four horses, honey. Saddle up and ride on with him. That may be the greatest post of all time. It's like, I don't care how old he is. I'm going for it.
Well, you know, what a gentleman, though, to say that, what he did about the Hooters girls. I mean, it was not the answer I was expecting, actually. So.
No, I wanted him to be like, oh, they just go crazy. And he's like, they're my daughter's age, so, you know, I got to have some respect. I mean, that is a Texas cowboy for you right there. I love it.
What a gentleman. And, what a good thing he's doing. And, you know, what a respect he has for his horses. Ponying three horses is not easy. I don't care what he says. On the road, you know, with all of that and doing that, but he's doing it so he doesn't have to be on any one horse for a long period of time. He's doing it for the horse's benefit, certainly not for his. You know, because
pony one horse is hard. Heck, riding a horse on the side of the road is hard. Then you pony one, then you add another one, then another one. Oh, my gosh, crazy. Awesome, though.
I just was looking at his Facebook page, and Sheila wrote on his Facebook page on Cowboy Chris's, you are outside my office, and you are an amazing man for doing what you're doing. I pray for your safe travels. My dad has cancer, and knowing there are people out there like you makes me know that someday there will be a cure. He was outside her office, and she thought to come on here and write that. So that's pretty cool. We're definitely, Jennifer, if you could just make sure that maybe try and get him on once a week and follow his travels, because I think our listeners would be very interested to see how he's doing along the way.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep in touch with him because, oh, my gosh, I'm just melting hearing that whole story. So so cute.
Well,
oh, my God. Alan Moorhead, I am going to come and track you down. Are you kidding me? Do you know what he just posted on Facebook?
I just saw it.
There's a picture of Willy Wonka and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Oompa Loompas surrounding him. And Alan Post found this in Family Album on Jamie's Facebook. Family Album. Which one am I, jerk? I'm coming for him. He's in trouble. Alan is just looking. Of course, Alan, the host of the Western Radio Show, which I am going to unlike on Facebook right now. Click done.
Alan's really looking for trouble here, isn't he? Well, we're waiting for our next guest to get on here, Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse. We're moving the Chronicle, which used to be the Friday Chronicle Report, is now the Thursday Chronicle Report. And we'll have them on every Thursday now because we're doing that special crazy ad section that we're talking about on Fridays that Jamie talked about earlier in the show. And Dawn, thank you. Dawn's listening right now, and she said that was a great song about mares. My beloved mare Paris is my favorite horse, with Zenyatta a very close second. So thank you, Dawn.
Oh,
we appreciate
that's awesome.
That's right above the picture of Jamie's family, the Oompa Loompas. So that's right above.
Glenn, don't encourage him. You are already in enough trouble over this whole Oompa Loompa thing. Ridiculous.
Apparently, it's not wanting to die either, the Oompa Loompa thing. Apparently, it has a life of its own. Thanks, Alan.
It wants to die. It's just that the jerk face Alan won't leave it alone. That
well,
is my PG-rated words for him. How about that?
Let's stop this nonsense, and we're going to get to Lisa right after I talk to you a little bit about FeedXL. We've been talking about FeedXL now for a couple of months, and I want to know, have you gone there yet? You know, Jamie posted a picture on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page of a horse that was for sale. It looks rather thin. Well, you want to make sure that you're feeding your horse correctly, and you want to know that you're feeding your horse correctly. And the way to do that is to go to feedxl.com. By the way, that wasn't a whiplash segment or anything. That was pretty good, you have to admit. That was pretty good for Thursday. So FeedXL is the place you want to go. You just take a couple of minutes. You put in some information about your horse. You put in some information about what you feed your horse. And what you're going to find is they're going to spit out some reports that were put together by doctors of equine nutrition, and they're going to tell you whether you're feeding too much of this or too little of that, whether this vitamin is lacking or that vitamin is lacking, or you're feeding too much of something and you can cut back in an area. All of that is done very easily and very simply at feedxl.com. And now it is time for the Thursday Chronicle Report. By the way, thank you so much, Lisa, for changing the days here. We're just trying to tweak how we do things here at Horses in the Morning, and we appreciate you coming on Thursdays. And you're probably so happy that you're not with us last thing on a Friday anymore, aren't you?
Oh, you know, Fridays are good, but Thursdays are great for me, actually, because I am traveling a lot on Fridays, so I think this will be a mutually beneficial situation.
Okay, good, because we knew that every time you come on a Friday, you were like, oh, my God, these people are out of control.
No, I never thought that.
Yes, you did. Don't lie.
Don't lie.
Well, Lisa, we appreciate you being on. Of course, Lisa is from the Chronicle of the Horse at chronofhorse.com and comes on once a week to talk to us about what is going on over there and what are the hot topics and stories. So what's the hot one this week?
Well, I don't know if you would call it a hot one, but we had quite a funny little story in our most recent magazine about Boyd Martin and his love for cats.
That's hot. I don't care what it is. That's hot. What are you, crazy? I wouldn't call it a hot one. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, maybe the better word is to say, you know, it's not exactly breaking news, but it's pretty awesome regardless. So
okay.
I don't know if you guys follow Boyd and Silva's blog, but it's pretty funny. They often, you know, write about horses they have for sale or competitions that they've attended, and they write about some of their employees. And a little while ago, they had a little blog about Boyd's cats and how much he loved them. And when they went to Aiken, they had to leave the cats in Pennsylvania, and he was very sad about that. He had someone, you know, going to his house to take care of them, but he blogged about how he really missed them. So we thought that sounded too funny not to talk to him about. And it turns out that that is true. Molly Bailey, who's one of our staff writers, called him and talked to Silva as well about his cats, and it's a pretty great story. Turns out that Boyd is quite a cat person, which is kind of unusual. It seems like most, you know, horse people are also dog people. I mean, I guess they're animal people, but
Boyd, you're right. They usually have their little squeaky Jack Russells at the shows,
right? Or you know,
yeah,
a big black lab, or you know. Some sort of animal that barks. So we talked to Boyd about his cats. He has two of them, and their names are Manny and Kostya. I can't exactly pronounce that second one, but they're named after his favorite boxers. And Boyd says that when you're riding and training young horses, there's nothing worse than finally getting them quiet than having a Jack Russell come racing around the corner and scare the daylights out of them. Cats are a relaxed addition to the barn. I admire that they know how to sit back and let everyone else do the hard work. I love that you can't bribe a cat for your affection with a piece of food like you can a dog.
That is true.
Yeah. So it turns out that when Boyd and Silva, I guess, when they first started dating, Boyd had a cat named Mickey. And for whatever reason, this cat really took exception to Silva, really did not like her. And so, you know, was constantly hissing at her, and they would lock him out of the bedroom at night, and he would howl at the door. And so Silva eventually said, she eventually said, you know, this cat thing isn't really working out for me. So they ended up giving the cat to Boyd's father, who lives in Australia. And so they went a brief period of time where they were catless, and I guess this was making Boyd fairly sad. So for his 30th birthday, Silva went and got him two cats from the animal rescue in Unionville, Pennsylvania. And Boyd thinks that they're wonderful cats. He says they're very sleek animals and talented in many ways, particularly in the art of sleeping. Lately, they've been getting about 21 or 22 hours of rest a day.
I like that.
He says that they are well-bred, athletic, and excellent movers. And, you know, though they are rescue cats and not a particular breed, he is convinced that they are show quality. And, you know, if he finds time in his schedule, he might choose to take them to a show.
Did you see Boyd at
a cat
show? Oh, my God. Boyd at a cat show.
Yeah.
Oh. There's
now,
a fight.
I do beg to differ when he comments about riding around on a young horse and you finally get them quiet and the Jack Russell Terrier comes around the corner and all Hades breaks loose
again.
You're
gonna tell.
You know this story, Glenn. I'm a cat person. I love dogs. They're wonderful and fine, but I'm a cat person.
Yep.
And had a barn cat. I have many barn cats, but amongst the barn cats, we had one particular yellow one. I think she was Orange Julius, maybe. I don't remember what her name was. It was an orange cat. Friendly.
Huh?
All my kitties were friendly.
Uh-huh.
Riding around on especially stupid young horse. I mean, she ranked top 10 stupidest young horses ever. Had a real switch to her. And was famous for bucking and flattening things. And got done riding, having a chit-chat with Glenn. This is before Glenn and I were married, in the arena. And the kitty's hanging out in the arena, which is what our kitties do. They watch us ride. And a kitty
a giant litter box.
Over. Pardon me?
Arenas are awesome for cats. It's a giant litter box.
It's a giant litter box, precisely. and she comes over and she does the little thing all around Glenn's ankles, and she looks up at me with that kitty face going, oh, aren't you going to carry me around and love me? And this thought entered my mind that that cat wants to sit on my lap, and I'm sitting on a horse, and that's probably not a good thing. And the next thing I remember, I was on the ground.
Oh, no.
Because the cat jumped up on the horse's button and planted herself there.
Oh.
Yeah, the cat, I couldn't do anything about it. I watched it happen so fast. The cat went from me and took a flying leap right under the, right behind the saddle, under the horse's butt, and dug in.
Yep.
Oh,
cool. Jennifer, next thing I knew, Jennifer was about 10 feet in the air doing spins and circles, and that horse was out of there, just gone, with the cat hanging on.
Oh, my God. That's a nightmare. That's why
that was hilarious. After the fact,
no cats. Yeah, now it is. Yeah, no cats and no mares allowed at my house. I can't handle either one of them.
Oh, what's wrong with mares?
I have a gelding that thinks he's a stallion, and so even anywhere, like our next door neighbor has a mare that's a mule, and I don't even think they cycle, right? But he tries to bring her through the fence, like.
Oh
so,
my God.
And then the cat thing, I'm a dog person. I love cats because I love animals, but I'm wicked allergic to them. You know, Glenn and Jennifer have seen the wheezing that took place when I was at their house with the beast.
She's very
it looked like a
cat.
tuberculosis ward when you were here, all the wheezing and hacking.
I need medicine. Give me your car.
Well, Lisa, I want to say to get a little serious here, you guys have been following, and we haven't talked about it here lately, Jamie, but the ongoing saga of picking an eventing coach for the United States, you guys have been following that pretty closely, and it sounds like it's up to the athlete committee or whatever that's called now, and they're really taking their time, and they want more interviews, and, you know, they want to spend their time on that, don't they?
Yeah, that sounds like, and, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's
good
that they're, you know, taking it seriously. So, yeah, I guess they're having a closed sort of interview process at the Fork, which is next weekend. Yeah. So hopefully something good will come of that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk, and of course that's been the big talk over on Eventing Nation. I know Jamie follows Eventing Nation pretty closely too.
I'm curious to know, do you think that in the world of eventing, like behind the scenes, I mean, I'm not an advanced eventer. I have no idea. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. Do you think that the reason they don't want these guys coaching, because obviously on the short list is Leslie Law and David O'Connor. Yep. Do you think that they don't like David or Leslie? Is that part of the problem?
I actually don't think that is true. I think there is... I don't know, because, you know, I mean, we have access to a lot of this, but, you know, there's a lot of it that and I'm far from an advanced eventer either, so it's hard to know some of those things, but I hear, you know, a lot of respect for David and for Leslie both. I think if anything...
Why are people so mad, so up in arms about it, and so, like, we don't want them as our coach, we want to be able to pick, and we want to open the door, because it seems like when Philip was in the running, and when Wofford was in the running, everybody was content, and then they edited it down to just the two, and people, like, writers went crazy.
Yeah, I think it was just the way that maybe the process was handled. I think it was just that... It seemed like they had a lot of choices, and then it went down to not many choices.
And I agree. I don't think it had anything to do with those two in specific. I think they just wanted to have more selection.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some people, you know, the people who already ride with Philip, I think are, you know, of course, going to be a little partial to Philip, and I think Philip probably would have done a great job too. But I think it has more to do with the process. But I don't know. You know, I'm not really on the inside of a lot of those conversations that happen at the barns, so maybe there is something that, you know, we just don't hear about here.
I just like this salacious gossip. This
yeah,
is
you
like you know, before my last radio job, I talked about Brittany and Christina and the cat fight that they had at a club over the weekend.
Man.
And I think what I really want to do is find some salacious gossip and, like, report it and be like, oh, my God, did you hear that David O'Connor doesn't like Leslie Law and that Jimmy Wofford is, like, so mad that he was, like, blogging about it. And you know, I don't know. I just want to make stuff up.
Maybe you should set up some hidden cameras in the barns.
Oh, that'd be a great idea. goes to
he would
the
probably
barn.
Get all kinds of information. Probably more than you wanted.
TMZ would be doing on, you know, David O'Connor and the Leslie Law controversy.
But yeah, we'll keep, you know, we're going to keep following that closely. So if I hear any gossip, maybe I'll pass it along. But that's usually not the case. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Lisa, again for joining us. And of course, you can find the Chronicle at thecronofhorse.com. And of course, they have one of the most famous forums out there, too. There's a couple articles on the homepage right now you might want to check out. Edward Gow going to visit Totilus again. And there's a new executive director at the Washington International Horse Show now. So, and it's Women's History Month. And you, Megan actually did a story a little bit on women in history in the horse world, which was a good article, too. So you can check all of that out at chronofhorse.com. Thank you, Lisa.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jennifer, you have... Jennifer just IM'd me something. It's like... Wofford sprays Shoshin on Phillip's horse's back. Film at 11.
That's funny.
Oh, that's great.
Boy,
that's
great.
Oh, we could come up with so much stuff.
We started a great controversy. Actually, Jamie, the Oopa Loopa, started a great controversy on our Horses in the Morning page about saddle pads or no saddle pads. That's a whole topic, it looks
where
like.
Where is that?
Scroll down where you posted the ad, the picture of the horse, and then the whole conversation started about pads and no pads. And lots of comments there on that. People have their opinions about things, that's for sure. We love that.
Okay, I'm going to type on here right now that people, this should not be a debate when you're looking at this horse in this particular setting and the particular price of $450, saddle included. So that was the actual ad. So, okay, I'm going to type an excerpt from the ad and just let them know that, first of all, okay, if I was a horse, put a ding pad on me. You know, I'm going to sweat. It's going to rub. Yes, if the saddle fits correctly, you know, you shouldn't have a saddle pad or you don't need a saddle pad. But you know what? What if the rider doesn't sit correctly and the rider shifts around? I'm sorry. Nobody's perfect. Wear a freaking saddle pad. Apparently, I have an opinion in the debate. Jennifer, what do you think?
I'm one of those people that if it fits right, you don't need the saddle pad. But you are absolutely correct. Once you put the human element in, just as important as whether or not the rider sits properly, if the girth is not done properly and the saddle and the girth are not both cleaned properly, you're going to cause yourself an issue. So in the greater scheme of things, it's a nice idea, and it's not there to, quote, protect the horse's back. It's just easier, you know. Who's going to clean their saddle, the bottom of their saddle, every single time they ride? Not very many people.
And most of them don't, and then that causes problems too. See, being a driver, I don't have to worry about all this crap.
And if I'm, you know, if that $3,000 saddle, doggone it, I don't want a sweat stain under there.
Seriously, gross. And then the sweat goes in there, and it doesn't matter if you wipe it up or not. It's going to soak into the leather, and then the leather's going to crack, and then it's going to pinch the horse's back. People, come on. Let's get together.
I can see it now. There's going to be headlines. Woohoo! We have opened a Medusa here.
Yeah, with Jamie likes controversy, apparently. So
apparently,
I'm just reading this because. Oh, and Karen wrote, my sense of humor goes into the tank when I see some bad ads out there. And I totally am with you, Karen, because bad ads, again, I want to buy everything. We can't, so we're going to have fun with it. And we're not talking about abused horses here. We're just talking about dumb people.
The ads I've looked at are, you know, some of them that we're going to highlight that have been sent in are about the illiteracy, they're mostly about the people and not about the horse. Let's put it that way. It'll be very interesting. The one that we got yesterday that somebody sent in must have had, in a two-paragraph ad, I think it had 50 misspellings in a two-paragraph ad. It was incredible how awful it was. So, you know, Karen, we're not really talking about abused horses here. We're talking about stupidly written ads. That's really what we're talking about.
Yes. People are getting mad at us already.
Literally, anyway. If anybody's been listening to this show for any period of time, they're knowing that, you know, they know how we are. So.
Yes, well, we've got new people. I did have a couple news stories, Glenn, if you want to hear a couple of them. Speaking of, selling horses, and I'm trying to figure out how this is going to take place because this would be something I would probably pony up some money for, is that the Montana horse auction is going to be, could be this weekend with, do you remember hearing the story about the guy that had this huge farm in, I think it was Bozeman, Montana, or Billings, Montana, and it went into foreclosure, but he had hundreds of horses on this property, and then the horses were a cause of a welfare operation because a vet went out there, saw the horses were starving, 829 horses, by the way. But he has until, I guess, next Tuesday or it was last Tuesday to reclaim the animals. I don't think he did it. So the horses are going to be auctioned, and they were rounded up by the members of the Crow tribe after the Bureau of Indian Affairs ruled that they had trespassed on Indian land because the horses were going outside of the ranch. It was crazy. So anyway, there might be an auction for like these hundreds of horses up in Montana. I think that we need to take a road trip and buy a couple ranch horses. What do you think?
There you go. I think we can back up the trailer and head out that way. Jennifer, I'm sure Jennifer would be all for that. That would be.
I think it's great. Billings, near Billings, Montana. So there was like hay that was dropped.
Has the snow even melted there yet?
No.
It's probably put a snow in the ground still.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure. So we'll have to bundle up and go up there and buy some horses. I think it's a great idea. You know, you can always have a good ranch horse. Who doesn't need a good ranch horse?
For your big ranch out there. And
for my 2.5-acre ranch. Oh, it's
hey,
great.
I saw,
and then
too,
I'm...
we like to follow movies. And there's going to be another horse movie coming out here soon.
Which one?
Well, you said you posted here about What Horse Annie.
Oh, yes. I want you to tell me, first of all, I think it's awesome that there's going to be a movie about Wild Horse Annie. But I want you to read through that and tell me the things that are wrong with it. Go ahead.
Okay, so actress Wendy Malick will star in a Hallmark movie. First of all, it's a Hallmark movie. That's one of the things wrong with it. About Wild Horse Annie, an animal advocate who successfully pushed for legislation to protect America's wild horses. The movie is set down for release in the middle of next year. The script is being written by Jerry Wingfield, based on a portion of the book Mustang, the Saga of the Wild Horse in the American West. It'll blah, blah, blah.
Let me
blah,
stop
blah.
You, because you already passed one. Wild Horse Annie is going to be played by Wendy Malick. Now, those of you who don't know who Wendy Malick is, if you've ever seen the television show Just Shoot Me, the one with David Spade, there was a modeling agency or magazine, like a Cosmopolitan kind of agency, and Wendy Malick was a former model turned drunken, you know, slutty girl. So all I see when I see Wendy Malick is the boozing ex-model who tried to sleep with everybody on the set. And so that's not Wild Horse Annie. Wild Horse Annie is like just a gun-toting, tough, you know, horse riding chick, not some former supermodel who just was popping pills. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I don't see her as Wild Horse Annie. What about you?
I don't know her from Adam, so I'm going with you. I don't see her either. I'm just sticking with you.
You want to post that picture on Facebook and see what people say? Is this really Wild Horse Annie? Because you didn't recognize her when you saw her picture?
No, not at all.
Oh, well, anyway, nobody will watch the movie because it's on Hallmark anyway. Oh, I should have said that.
Now we're going to get hate mail about that. I noticed our number
just
of fans on Facebook has dropped since we started this particular episode. So, that tell you something?
However, Cowboy Chris has a heck of a lot more fans now. So apparently they're deleting us and going to find him.
All right, let's wrap up this show.
Okay.
Let's call it a day. You can listen to all of our shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. All of Chris's shows will be coming out here in the next day or two. So you can listen to the eventing, dressage, and jumping radio shows. And Stable Scoop will be coming out as well. We talked about something a little different on Stable Scoop this week. We talked about a gated three-phase event. That's right, dressage, cross-country, and stadium for gated horses. That's going to happen at the most beautiful place, one of the most beautiful places in America, and that is at Shaker Village right here in, near Lexington. So that's coming up in the fall, and that'll be happening shortly. And you also, I wanted to...
Don't mention the Western show. There is no Western radio show. We are not talking to those people. I love Tammy. Bless her heart. I don't know how she works with Alan. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just saw, too, that Alan just posted another picture for you. So.
Shut up. Oh, my God. I'm out of here. I'm done. You need to deal with him or I'm quitting. No.
You need to call into his show.
Yeah, I know I should. Can we block him from our Facebook page? He just posted another picture.
I think if it was right, Alan would allow you the time to be on his show to respond to all of this negativity. I think that would be the right thing to do, don't you?
I think he's scared. And, you know, I don't need to deal with wimps.
And if you missed the live show, you can listen to recorded version if you really like to, mostly for our guests, not for us. Or on our website at horsesinthemorning.com or affiliate websites or iTunes or Facebook. You list a whole bunch of places. And we'll be back again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern with Freestyle Friday. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Bye, everybody. Wear your helmet.